It's amazing how God works. As I was preparing this sermon, I ended up in 1 Kings, and we'll get there in a minute. But as I ended up in 1 Kings, I ended up in chapter 2 where David was getting ready to pass into eternity, and Solomon was getting ready to take over. And it's just strange how God works in that example. And we're going through one of those transitions with the pregnancy center. We're going through a transition. So it's just, it's incredible how God works in these areas. Let's pray before we get started. Lord, I am so thankful to be able to be here today, Lord, and to share what it is that you've put on my heart. And Lord, I just want to do as Pastor Coleman does each and every week. And Lord, I pray that the one who speaks would diminish. And Lord, the only thing heard here today will be you, Lord. Lord, everything we do because we honor you. We praise you. We thank you. And Lord, we're thankful for your grace and your mercy. Lord, be with us. And Lord, I pray we would have open minds and open hearts, Lord, as your word is studied today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I titled my sermon today, Changing Seasons. I want to start out by saying I love the spring. I love seeing and hearing the birds and the flowers and the bees so active this time of the year as they prepare their nests and start feeding their young. It's just a wonderful time. New growth is everywhere. It's also a great time to spend with your family outdoors. The beauty of God's creation really comes out in full in the spring. We are blessed to live in an area in Orlando here where we have lots of forest and trees, and we have a lot of wildlife. I don't know about you. I live on behind my house is a reserve, and we have lots of wildlife that visit. Of course, I set up some bird feeders and things to attract a few of those things. But it's a wonderful just to open up my verticals and look out and watch the wildlife. You know, I can't wait until the MLC's plans are completed for our church. And we'll have plenty of opportunities to sit here and look at some huge changes and enjoy God's handiwork within our church. To me, the beauty that God designed into the changes that are placed in the spring are just further proof of how God loves us and blesses us with such great beauty. Think about how God designed the earth. He set up the whole planet with the idea of changing seasons. I've often talked to people, and they've said to me, boy, wouldn't it be wonderful if it was 72 degrees year-round? You know, just a constant 72. I mean, God could have done that, right? He could have set it up that way, but he didn't. Why? I think this is so vitally important to the word that God has given me. Why? Why would he make it 97 degrees and 30 degrees? You know, on one hand, when you look at it, you say, well, that doesn't make sense. But really, when you look at the cycles of life and how it triggers things in nature, things in us, it all makes sense. God had a great design and a great plan. He knew as soon as the winter was over and the weather started to get warmer that it would trigger the flowers. It would trigger, you know, seeds are triggered to come up. I mean, how does that happen? Have you ever noticed? And if you haven't, I'm going to challenge you to do this next year. Have you ever noticed that the pine trees in our area at Easter time, as they get bud and start to seed, they have a cross on them? It actually looks like a cross. I believe it was God's design that these little crosses would be all over in the Easter time. The pine trees, God speaks through them. And he does the same thing with the birds. They now know it's warmer. They know that what else is happening? It's not just one thing. A lot of things are going to happen. Why would they build their nest? Just because it's getting a little warmer? No. No, that's not it in itself is not it. They also know that's the time when the flowers will be blooming. The insects are going to come out to feed on them. The flowers are going to produce seed for the birds that eat seeds. It's all according to God's great plan and great design that these little babies in the nest would be able to be provided for only at this time. I don't know if you've ever watched any nature shows, but I can tell you this, that when times are tough, as an example, birds of prey, but this is true with all animals, that if times are tough, they may have 2, 3, 4 babies in that nest. If it's a good season, they'll all make it. But you know what happens during the tough season? The firstborn, or the strongest bird, will kick the rest out of the nest to survive. So at least one will survive. Now, this doesn't happen in times of plenty. It only happens in times of low production during that time. But what a great season. Another reason I love this season is Easter. Easter comes. Easter's coming, and Easter is here. Very few weeks after the official day of spring, and of course that all depends on what the groundhog does. But besides that, it's a wonderful time. I love the Easter service. That's what spring reminds me of. I know what's happening. When spring comes, we're going to have an Easter. We're going to have a sunrise service. We're going to have breakfast and fellowship with each other. What a wonderful time. See, that happens in spring. God's design. But there's also a couple of things I don't like about spring. Now, you knew that was coming, right? You know what I don't like about spring?
Tornadoes.
Huh? Summer's coming. Summer's next. See, I'm already thinking ahead. We've had a little bit of a warm spring this year. We're probably, 6-7 degrees above normal. We're also drier than normal this time of the year for this year. But yeah, I'm thinking ahead. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I love spring, but boy, what's next? 95, 97, blistering days. I work outside a lot. It's difficult. That's what's coming. It also reminds me of something else that I'm not too happy about. Another year has gone by. I was just talking to somebody this morning about that, about how, I'm glad to be here, but I'm another day older. And as the season of the years change, it means that we are moving on with changing seasons in our life as well. The Bible tells us about seasons of life as well. If you'll open up your Bibles and turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. In verses 1 through 8, it tells us that there are seasons for all activities of life. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8 says, if you all would please stand for the reading of God's word. Say, there is a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, and a time to build, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain, a time to search, and a time to give up, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to mend, a time to be silent, and a time to speak, a time for war, and a time for peace. Thank you. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Please be seated. See, this is the way God has set it up. A time for spring, a time for summer, a time for fall, a time for winter. The Lord has set it up that way. And although I'm using, you know, physical examples, I want to share with you today, and this is my message today as we move on, is that applies to our lives as well. It's not just the physical things around us. You see, life is full of changing seasons. We see the same things in our lives, don't we? We enter a new season of life when we get a new job. When you get married is a new season. When you have kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, in my case, nephews. When your kids leave home, that's a change season. When we move from one area to the next, sometimes we move out of state, far away, that's a change of season. When we retire, it's a change of season. All of those things are natural points of life that enter us into change seasons. But there are also times when we make a conscious choice to change directions in our lives and to enter into a new change season. Maybe you've recognized that your life has not been moving in a positive direction or really has not been working out so well, so you seek to change directions. You turn over a new leaf in life, as we say. Isn't that funny? In the year 2000, I walked into a church for the first time. And I knew things weren't right in my life. I knew that everything that I had done wasn't working. I knew that something was missing, but I didn't know what that missing element was until I walked into that church. And as the Holy Spirit took a hold of me, my life was changed, forever changed. Spiritually, materially, in every way. Maybe we recognize that our lives haven't been moving in that good direction. Many times, these moments of thinking through our life occur at natural points during different seasons of our life. How about, what's the number one time that we make commitments to change a changing season? Would be January 1st. Yeah, New Year's. We make New Year's resolutions, don't we? Now, quite often we don't make it, but sometimes we do. We make a commitment. That's a conscious effort to change. We want to lose weight. We want to become more active physically. There's many times that we make a commitment to do something different, to change, the season in which we're in. Also, another time of major change is at birthdays. You get to certain points, everybody has them, you know, black 40, your 40 year, 40th birthday, they say is that, you know, the cards and everything, it's the black, you know, that's the big turning point. Personally, I didn't have any problem with 40, but I had a big problem with 50. So I guess it's individual to when that changing season comes and affects you. But they often say it is 40. I don't know. It's individual. But those times and birthdays can have an effect on us and could cause that, as well as during the natural changes of season that occur, which we spoke of earlier, like marriage, having kids. So even as those times, while things are changing already, we may sense a need for other changes that needed to take place in our lives. All of this is to recognize that different life events lead to different seasons in our life. Some of you here today are entering a new season of life as a natural occurrence, whether you have just become parents or gotten married or changed jobs. It not only takes place in individuals, but in corporations and churches, just like ours. See, I believe God's design is designed for every aspect of planet Earth. So often we look, any of you who work with horses, you know that, any of you seen a horse races? You ever seen some of the horses have these little blinders on? You know why that horse has a blinders? Because that horse is high strung, and that horse gets distracted with all the activity going on around that horse. So they put these blinders on so the horse can't see all that and get distracted. So that the horse can focus on what it's supposed to be doing and not get too deviated with what's going on around it. Here at First Baptist Church of Union Park, we are also entering a new season. We've entered a new season of ministry, and we've begun our chapel remodel. Now, I know hopefully some of you have noticed some of the changes. They're going to continue to happen as we go along, but we have a projector in the back. We have a projector in the front. I don't know if you noticed, but the speaker boxes are gone. The wall is repaired. All the cables that used to run along the side of the chapel are gone. New cables are installed. Slowly but surely, we're in the process, just as God does with the seasons. And each season brings change. We too are in the midst of that change. And while a new season of life for a church or for individuals can be freshness, and it can be excitement, but it also can be something else. It can be scary. Is it not true starting a new job is both exciting and scary? I mean, you're happy to have a new job. You're looking forward to starting that new job. But don't those little thoughts pop in there? Am I going to get along with everybody? Is it going to work out successfully for me? Getting married is both exciting and scary. Same thinking. Having kids is both exciting and scary. Well, it's exciting. We're all looking forward to that new child. But then we start thinking, are they going to be healthy? Am I going to be able to provide for them? You know, I mean, all those things start to creep in. Making a decision to follow Christ can both be exciting and scary. Scary because we don't know what to expect. I remember as I told you, in 2000, when I started going to church, I started having questions as I listened to the pastor. So I went to the pastor and I said, "Pastor, I don't know what's happening to me." He knew what was happening to me, but I had no clue. And I said, "But I can't explain it, and I don't know what's going on." So we talked for a while, and this is what he said. He said, "Bill, I want you to go home and read 1 John. It's only 5 chapters. Won't take you long." This was Sunday, a day just like today is. So I went home and I started reading 1 John. Well, I got done on Thursday. Friday night, I called the pastor. And I said, "Pastor, it was for me as though I was in a dark room and somebody had switched on the light. And I saw." My life forever changed that day. I began a new season of seeking the Lord. As I told you before, I'd never been to church, so I had a lot of catching up to do. I had a lot of reading and studying to do. But the Lord provided. The Lord provided and continues to provide to this day, and I am thankful for that. So, today, I want to give us some things that we can expect during changing seasons of our lives. So we'll be less scared of those times, that we'll be better able to seize our opportunities that present themselves, and to be better able to experience the excitement that changing seasons provide us. To help us to do that, I want to take a look at Solomon today. If you will turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Kings chapter 2. You know, as I shared with you in the beginning of Ecclesiastes, most scholars think the likely writing for Ecclesiastes was Solomon himself. And the passage that we read that few minutes ago, you know, was so important because the son of King David, as the son of King David, he became the king after King David. So let's read about the changing seasons that Solomon experienced and see what we might be able to learn from these passages. 1 Kings 2, I'm going to be reading just 1 through 4. When the time drew near for David to die, he gave a charge to Solomon his son. "I am about to go away of all the earth," he said. "So be strong, show yourself a man, and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in his ways, keep his decrees and commands, his laws and requirements, as written in the law of Moses, so that you may prosper in all you do wherever you go, and that the Lord may keep his promise to me. If your descendants watch how they live, and if they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel."
Wow.
The first thing we need to realize is that changing seasons are coming. You know, there was a battle going on for which son would take King David's place. So I really don't believe that Solomon at the time really expected to become the king. So the first thing that I titled is the first point I want to make is experiencing change. And to see how Solomon handled. There are some changes that are happening in Solomon's life, aren't they? Here's the first thing, his dad is dying. The man who led Israel successfully for so many years, the man who people loved, a man who was after God's own heart. Now Solomon was going to be expected to fill his shoes. I don't know about you. If you know anything about football, anybody heard about Peyton Manning? Peyton Manning has left the Indianapolis Colts, and he has moved on to a new team. And the Indianapolis Colts will be drafting a number one quarterback to replace him. I would not want to follow Peyton Manning in his footsteps, would you? That's going to be a tough, tough road to hold. And I'm sure that that new quarterback, whoever it might be, is going to be excited about that, isn't he? In some degree, hey, I'm going to be the number one pick. I'm going to be a number one quarterback. The number one pick in the draft. But isn't there a flip side to that? When he's going to say, when he comes to the realization, I'm following Peyton Manning, and how do I live up to that kind of Pro Bowl player, a person who carried the team for all those years on his own shoulders? It's going to be difficult. It's going to be scary. I mean, let's be honest. Would you rather follow Peyton Manning or some other quarterback that didn't do real well? I mean, let's be honest. Would be easier to follow somebody who wasn't so successful. Now, getting past the fact that I'm sure Solomon was really excited about those things, of some of those things, and concerned about others, how will he be able to lead like his father? I'm sure that's foremost on his mind. Change. People have a love-hate relationship with that word change, don't we? We're excited in some ways, but we're scared in others, as I said earlier. We don't know what to expect. You know, we want things to change because if we didn't, things would be boring, just like the seasons. If it was 72 degrees year-round, you know what? You wouldn't appreciate it. You wouldn't appreciate it. You'd take it for granted. You say, hey, man, life is good. Look at this, perfect weather. You'd never appreciate it. But you know what? When it's 97 degrees outside and it's blistering and you have a nice cool breeze coming through, you know, 3 months later, you say, ah. When spring comes, you say the same thing. It might have been a little cold for you during the winter. It got a little too cold. And you say, ah, springs here. See, change of season. It's not scary. We know it's coming. God has set it up that way. Why do we resist it? Well, there are some reasons we resist it. Because there's uncertainties, and it's those uncertainties that we are truly afraid of. The things we don't know. We're excited to get married, but will the marriage life really be like? I'm excited to have children, but can I really raise them? I'm excited about starting a new job, but will I be able to do it? I'm excited about First Baptist Church of Union Park is changing, but what will the change require of me? We like to know in advance what any change is going to require of us, don't we? The problem with that is, from a Christian perspective, that requires no faith. None. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:7 to live by faith and not by sight. See, we're looking to see. Listen, every spring is not the same. Every summer is not the same. As the summer comes, we know it in Florida here, it's hurricane season. And we don't know what to expect. Is it going to be an easy season? Is it going to be a very active season? Or is Florida going to get hit? Is Orlando going to get hit with a major hurricane? We always want to know. We like to live by sight, don't we? We want to know that everything will turn out just how we want it to. The fact of the matter is that we don't really trust God to take care of the things in our best interest. That's where the disconnect is. But for us to grow in a relationship with God, for us to grow in our faith, we need to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. Trust. Trust the Lord. If I did not trust the Lord, I would not be standing here before you today. That goes back to trusting Him in 2000 when I accepted Him as my Lord and Savior. That happened 3 years ago when I came to this church for what I thought was just a season of recovery before I moved on. That's what I thought. See, I had this vision of what God was going to do. But as always, and what I want to say to you is that I was sensitive to where God was calling me. No matter what my plan was, it's not my plan, it's God's plan. We can't change the seasons and erase them so we can have 72-degree weather year-round. It's not going to happen because it's God's plan. So we need to be sensitive to God's plan and adapt and be ready. That requires us to move forward in the midst of change and uncertainty. Difficult things. Not knowing what the Lord is going to do with you. Happens to me all the time. I pray it's happening to you. And as our faith grows, we bring pleasure and glory to the Lord. Let me say that again, because I think that's so important. As our faith grows, we bring pleasure and glory to the Lord. Can I hear an amen? Are you listening? That's what brings pleasure and glory to the Lord. And we're going to see how Solomon did this same thing. How he does this. And we'll see it in the scripture. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. So we have to be faithful. For Solomon to grow, for Solomon to please God, he needed to experience change. David was entering into eternity, so Solomon could grow. Doesn't make sense on one hand, does it? One season is ending and another season's beginning. For First Baptist Church of Union Park to grow, there are going to have to be changes. Changes in ministry, changes in this building, changes in the way we do things. Why? It's a new season. For you to grow, you need to experience change. Maybe it's through some natural points of change that God will help you grow and to learn to trust Him better. Maybe it's the change you need to experience and the change from living life your way to living that life God's way. That can be a scary change, can't it? But it's a change that will provide eternal benefits beyond any measure, anything you can imagine. I am so thankful I am so thankful for the people that inspired me to be loyal and faithful to the Lord. All along across my journey with Him. Because the natural man gets in the way of the spiritual man. As change comes naturally, accept them as part of life. Let the Lord grow you through them. As you recognize that change needs to take place, commit to trusting the Lord to lead you through and draw you closer to Him. Because see, as you stay faithful, you become closer. As you trust not in your being, but in His, you get closer to the Lord. You can't do that on your own. You can only do that through your trust and devotion to the Lord Himself. Not only do we experience the changes during changing seasons, but we also experience changing seasons that will bring challenges. Oh yes, there will be challenges. Solomon not only had a changed position now as the new king, but with these changes came some real challenges, wasn't there? And he realized these challenges. Now, how was he going to face them? This is the question. What was he going to do to face these new challenges? Turn with me a few pages over to 1 Kings chapter 3, and I will read verses 5 through 9. Listen to what's happening in Solomon's life. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask whatever you want me to give you." Wow, man. Ask me. Ask for whatever you want me to give you. Wow. Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and given him a son to sit in the throne this very day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" Oh, Lord. You know, David did a pretty good job, didn't he? You know what echoes in that? When he says, "Who is able to govern this great people of yours?" Do you see it? Solomon had an awesome and challenging task before him. How many of you may have challenging tasks that lie ahead of you? Maybe you have a challenging role in raising your children. Maybe they are beginning to test your authority, and you're not sure how to handle it. Maybe you're facing challenges in your marriage, or maybe it's a challenge in your job that you're facing today. Our challenge at our church is ministering to the people of this church and reaching out with the good news of Jesus Christ to our community. As we change, we face new challenges in doing that. Whatever the challenge we face, how do we get through it? How do we get through it? We need to face it like Solomon faced it, with humility, seeking the wisdom of God Himself. What did he say? "Who is able to govern this great people of yours?" See, they weren't his people. He didn't take any credit. He said, "Lord, it's your people. How do I do it? Help me." James 1:5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, He should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Wow. That's how much the Lord cares for us. As we go through changes of seasons, as we go through uncertain times, he says, ask. Ask. We need to seek God's wisdom during times when we find ourselves in these challenging situations. We need to be in prayer. We need to be asking for it. Lord, here's an example, some examples. Lord, how is it that I should be teaching my child to respect my authority? Lord, what do I need to do to make my marriage better? Lord, give me wisdom in being a leader at the workplace. Lord, how should I glorify your name in serving you? It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about serving the Lord. Humbly seek his wisdom in facing your challenges. That's what Solomon was doing here in this passage. Humbly seeking the Lord. Finally, we can expect changing seasons will expose champions. Turn with me a few more pages over to 1 Kings chapter 8. And I will be reading from verses 10 through 14. Now Solomon had just finished building the temple for the Lord. When the priests withdrew from the holy place, the cloud filled the temple of the Lord. And all the priests could not perform their services because of that cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled his temple. Then Solomon said, "The Lord has said that he would dwell in a dark cloud. I have indeed built a magnificent temple for you, Lord. I placed for you to dwell forever." While the whole assembly of Israel was standing there, the king turned around and he blessed them. Can you see this scene as the Lord fills his holy temple? I don't know about you, but the book of 1 Kings is such a joy to read and to see how the ark and how God was working through his people. See, Solomon accepted the changes that came his way. He faced the challenges that occurred with humility, seeking the Lord's wisdom, and he continued to move forward. He was able to be used in a mighty way for the things of the Lord. What things were those? Well, he completed the temple, and God was pleased. His presence, which filled the temple, showed that, didn't it? That was the evidence. Maybe you're thinking, I could never be used to do anything great. Maybe you're thinking, I will never be a champion. I don't have anything to offer. I have tried to do things in the past, but I have failed. Perhaps you've been trying in your own strength. The key to becoming a champion is submitting yourself first and foremost to Jesus Christ. When we submit ourselves to the Lord in our daily living, trusting in him, the changes that go on, humbly seeking him in the challenges that we face, he gives us new opportunities to be used in greater ways. We have to be willing to step out in faith. I don't know, when I was younger, I don't know if any of you played this game, when you close your eyes and you fall backwards and let somebody catch you. It's a game of faith, really. Trust. It takes a lot of faith to stand and just fall backwards and hope that person catches you. Trust that person catches you. I promise you that Jesus Christ is there to catch you. He does not promise us that the journey is going to be safe and without perils and without trials and tribulations. Oh, no. What he promises is that he will go with us through those trials and tribulations. We need to stay focused on him and not us. But listen to me. Here's the reality. God wants to use everyone in this room. The Bible tells us that we're all part of the body of Christ, and each one of us has a gift. Each and every one of us, a gift for the Lord. I want you to think about it as your body. Each of us are a body part: eyes, ears, nose, hair, if you have any, arms, legs, all those parts. We're all part of the body of Christ. Each of us has a gift, something that God wants you to do, to be part of the body. You know, I mean, the body can function without a foot, right? But it's a little more difficult, isn't it? So if your gift is the gift of a foot, and you don't use your gift of a foot in this body at First Baptist Church of Union Park, oh, we'll get by, but we'll have a limp, see? We're not as healthy as we should be. We're not whole. We're not whole if you're not using your gift. Now, some of us have multiple gifts, but we all guaranteed, the Bible says, we all have at least one gift. He can use everyone in this room, but you need to humble yourselves and submit yourselves to him. James 4:10 says, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. If you humble yourselves by putting your trust in the Lord and following what he wants us to do, you can be a champion of Christ too. Also, do you want to be a champion? I pray you do. I pray you want to be a champion. And not for you. I'm talking about a champion for the Lord. Stand up. Get involved. Put the Lord first, as Solomon was doing. He understood exactly what his place was. He got it. It starts with accepting the changes that he may want to make in your life. It starts with accepting the changes he may want to make in this church and being part of that. Walking in faith through challenges and moving forward humbly and obediently into what the Lord would have you do. Let me say that again. I think this is so important. It all starts with accepting the changes he may want to make in your life, walking in faith through those challenges, and moving forward humbly and obediently into what the Lord would have you do. That is how a champion is born. I want to tell you that there is nothing greater than being used by God to accomplish something awesome. But you have to accept it. Just as we do, as it says in Romans 10, that God, you know, God offers us a gift. But we have to accept it, the gift of salvation. We have to accept it. I believe we have to accept this challenge. The challenge for us is to accept the changing seasons. To walk into it with open eyes, open hearts. Understand that that is all part of his scheme. If it's good for the planet, it's good for us. We're going to go through changing seasons. I mean, we do as adults, as human beings. We're infants. We're adolescents. We're adults. We're senior adults. We're gone. Right? Changing seasons. Of course, there's all kinds of little seasons in between that we're all very familiar with if you've been around for any length of time. I want to tell you that there is nothing greater than being used by God to accomplish these things. Maybe you're unsure what the Lord is wanting you to do. Well, some things we can be sure of. He wants his kingdom to grow, and he's looking for people to help in the harvest. That's right. Luke 10:2 says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Listen, there's lots of work to be done. Lots of work. Lots of volunteers are needed for different aspects of ministry in this church. There's volunteers that need to be here on Saturdays from 9 to 1 to help with the chapel remodel. There's physical needs, there's spiritual needs. There is a lot to be done, people. And I challenge you today, get involved. Find where your heart is calling you to be. Try different things. There's nothing wrong with trying something and saying, hey, this isn't for me. I've done it many a time. Don't be afraid of it. You don't know until you try it. And if it doesn't work, we'll find something else. There's plenty of different things to do in service to the Lord and to this body. But we don't function properly if we're not all involved. Well, some things we can be sure of, though, and that is that there's always a shortage of help. So connect with the church. Maybe the Lord wants you to become part of that harvest. Use your times and talents and treasures to help the church reach the community of Jesus Christ. We can't do it alone. It's not just for the leaders of the church. The Lord doesn't say that in the Bible. In Matthew 28:18, I think it is, when the Great Commission, what does he say? Does he say, church leaders, go out therefore into all the world? No, it's a command to each and every one of us. It's not a command just for a select few. It's for everybody. Go out therefore into all the world, professing our faith, baptizing in the name of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Get involved. You can't do that sitting on the sideline. I'm going to ask Pastor to come up now and close us. I want to thank you for listening to me today, listening to my heart. And just as we're going through changes, so is the CPC. And I would ask you all to be in prayer for that change, those changes that are coming about in the CPC. But I want you to know this. It's all according to God's plan. It's his perfect timing. He knows what he's doing. And we need to step out and walk in faith. Thank you.